All right. While we're all getting in our place, good idea to turn off the old cell phone right now. I just noticed mine was on, and it's a little embarrassing sometimes. I was at a district meeting one time, and somebody's phone went off, and the superintendent was intense on something. And I remember him stopping. He gritted his teeth a little bit because I thought something unkind was going to come out of his mouth. And then he just smiled and he said, "That better be Jesus calling." And so I'm sure he got that from a movie somewhere. But anyway, it was a good thing. But just I always try to remember to turn my ringer off. Now, if I jump suddenly, that's because it's buzzing in my pocket. So maybe I'll get rid of this morning. You know, we've been talking about change this in our series for the new year. We said that our theme is going to be embracing change with joy. And we said that some changes are thrust upon us. But you know, there are other changes that God wants us to make. And last week we talked about how Paul pressed on to this heavenward calling that God had in his life. So there are some changes that are thrust upon us, and there are some changes that God wants us to make. And last week we talked about personal responsibility, and today I'm going to talk about necessary change is dealing with anger. Now, I'm going to ask a question real quick. Anybody here have a problem with anger? Anybody want to point to somebody else and say, "Yeah, that's my problem"? And that's the truth, is that we all do have a problem with anger. Whether we like to admit it or not, we all have a problem with anger. It could be there's somebody else that might say that they don't have a problem with anger, and they say, "It's not my problem. I'm angry. I get over it. I move on." It's everybody else's problem. And I wanted to talk about this because it seems like we live in kind of a world that's getting angrier. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, there are certain things that have happened in the last decade or two that I'm old enough to say that didn't happen when I was a kid. I mean, people lose control and they go into their school or into their workplace and they just start shooting the place up. Like, that was not in the news when I was younger. That's in the news kind of regularly now. Road rage. I didn't even know what that was until about a decade or so ago that we hear about this thing called road rage. I'm not saying it didn't happen, but it seems to be on the upswing. We've noticed that the political discourse in our country is getting louder and angrier, isn't it? And so we see these things going on around us, and I would just say this, I'm not here to preach against the culture. They're not here today. What I'm here to do is to talk to us. Because even if the culture gets really angry, God doesn't want us to be out of control. Can I get an amen from you? He doesn't want us to be like that, and we don't have to. And so we're going to talk about some ways to deal with anger. And the first thing I just want to talk about is the fact that we need to realize that anger has a cost associated with it. By the way, I put these handouts in the pews this morning. I apologize that I ran out of toner as I was printing them. I mean, that wasn't a good thing, but I figure people like having the handouts so you can underline and take notes and do everything you want this morning. But the first thing we want to talk about is the fact that anger, uncontrolled anger, and I'm going to speak to controlled versus uncontrolled in a minute, but uncontrolled anger has a cost associated. I had a couple verses of scripture. It says, anger causes mistakes. Now, how many of you know that that's true? How many people know that, you know, it causes mistakes? Short-term people do foolish things. And so you know that's true. You've seen it happen, and maybe you've experienced that, and you've been that person as well. And then it says this, the fool who provokes his family to anger and resentment will finally have nothing worthwhile left. And it's this idea that when you lose your temper, that's not the only thing you lose. You might lose your reputation. You might lose the relationship with your children or your spouse, or you might at least damage it. If you let it go uncontrolled, your life is always going to see some kind of a price, and it's not worth it. The Bible says you can even lose your own family if you're not careful with your temper. Go to the next slide here. The second thing that you need to recognize is that anger is not a sin. You know, when you come to church, you're not supposed to go away with more of a burden than you walked in with, number one. The church ought to be a place to relieve burdens. The second thing is you shouldn't walk out with unnecessary burdens, because I believe people carry unnecessary burdens in their life. And one of them is the belief that somehow anger is a sin. Anger itself is not a sin. You know what a sin is? Is when you lose control because of your anger. You know, it's a divinely implanted emotion. It really is. God put that inside of you for a reason. Do you know why? Because there are certain things in this world that are supposed to make you angry. When you see injustice, you're supposed to get angry. If you see someone treating a child badly, you're supposed to get angry about that. It has a constructive spiritual purpose. It causes you to take action. It's supposed to stir something up. And you see, the problem is, if you don't get angry at evil, you're also unlikely to get excited about good. Do you know what I mean? I don't think God wants us living in this place where we suppress every single emotion and think that by controlling our emotions or denying our emotions, somehow that's a higher level of spirituality. No, you're supposed to respond to life with some emotion. And if you think about it, there's a story I found in the scripture, and it goes like this. It's a story about Jesus. Now, if Jesus did something, it's okay. Can I get an amen? Because the Bible says he never sinned, ever. He never sinned. So let me tell you this story. It says, another time he went into a synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, that would be the religious leaders, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. Listen to what it says. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. And he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. It's pretty clear he was angry that day. He was angry at religious people who claimed to worship God but didn't care about people. Now, he didn't lash out at them. Notice that. He took action. He healed this guy right in front of us. Look at the passage on the top. It says this. It says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." Take that first little word, "be angry." And it's letting us know that there's no prohibition against being angry in the scripture. In fact, the author of the passage accepted the fact that Christ followers could be angry. The only warning is about what you do when you're angry. And he says not to sin when you're angry. God doesn't command us to get rid of anger. He commands us to deal with it appropriately. And I'm going to talk about, I had a picture on the first slide. I don't know if you noticed it. It was a skunk and a turtle. It's a skunk and a turtle. And here's the thing. When there are two kind of people in this world when it comes to anger. You know, skunks are those people that they blow up. You know what I mean? They stink the place up when they're angry. They just let it all out. They let it rip. And everybody knows when they're angry. Anybody want to admit that they're a skunk here this morning? I didn't see any hands going up, but okay. God knows your heart. All right. The other kind of people are turtles. You know what turtles do? And it's a box turtle in the picture. But if you've ever had a box turtle, they pull their head inside the shell, and the front of the shell closes up. And you see, they retreat inside when what they do is they withdraw and they internalize their anger. And the problem with internalizing your anger like the turtle is that it's going to come out sometime. Amen. Any turtles here? Any people like they burn slowly over a really long time? And so these are two different ways to respond to anger, but neither of them are good. All right? Neither of them are good. Neither of them is very healthy. I read this somewhere, and I can't remember where I found it, but they did a study of people under different kinds of circumstances, and they hooked them up to a heart monitor. It was a cardiac study, and they had them work real hard. They had them go sleepless. All these different things to see how does the heart respond in all of these different circumstances. Do you know what was absolutely the worst thing that could happen to your heart? When you are, when you're angry, your heart's ability to pump blood drops like by two-thirds. It drops by two-thirds. So this anger thing that we have, we need to be able to deal with it. And so go to that slide where it says resolve to control your anger. And I want you to circle a word here, because I'll get you to that in a minute, but circle that word in Proverbs 29:11. It says, a fool gives vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. Keeps himself under control. Circle that word, keeps. Keeps. That when you say you're going to resolve to do something, it's kind of like I made a determination that I'm going to be a certain way, or I'm going to do something. That's what a resolve is for us. And here we see that in the scripture, we're told that a wise man keeps himself under control. There are choices that you can make when you're angry. And then I just chose this one up here at the top because of this. A lot of people, when they're angry, they say, I can't control myself. I can't control myself. And I just thought I'd respond to you this morning. The Bible tells us that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So there is this opportunity to control ourselves when we're angry. Let me give you an example of this. Anybody get into a fight with somebody or have as I call it, an animated discussion, all right? An animated discussion. And all of a sudden, that cell phone starts to ring. And then you pull the phone out, and everything changes, and you can talk to that person on the other end of the phone in perfect calmness. And then when the phone hangs up, you resolve your animated discussion. And you know what that kind of demonstrates? Is that we can control our anger, can't we? We can control it. It's just I think that sometimes we don't want to. But I believe there is a resolution that everybody can make here this morning. We can resolve to control our anger. Let's go to the next one this morning. I'm kind of rolling on the R's this morning. Second thing is, release your anger appropriately. Release your anger appropriately. I said that there are two different kinds of people in the world. There's the turtles and the skunks. And the skunks react quickly and explosively when they're angry. And turtles, they don't blow up. They clam up. But I want you to circle that little phrase up there. It says, in your anger, do not sin. In your anger, do not sin. And this is this idea about the people who's a... By the way, can I tell you that neither skunks nor turtles are bad people? Can I just say that up here so that you're not sitting here morning thinking that I'm judging anybody? But they're not bad. They're just different. It's just different ways that you handle stress and things in your life. And so there's this idea that in your anger, I'm not going to sin. Well, how can I do that? And that's more or less what my preaching, or at least I try to do, is to give you ways to manage things or to apply the things that are in the scripture. So it says, in your anger, do not sin. And so let me just talk to skunks for a minute this morning. Skunk is a person, and I, unfortunately, I'm a turtle more than I'm a skunk. And so, gee, that's not very appealing either way. So I'm kind of glad that I had both of those this morning. But the the worst decisions that you probably made in life were made when you were under some kind of stress or emotional stress. And it had to do with you made mistakes when you were angry, when you were lustful, when you were anxious, or when you were greedy. And you see, what happens is when you do things under emotional pressure like that, you typically regret them later, right? How many people, when you're angry, you said or did something that you wish you could take back? And the problem in life is there's no undo. There's no control V, you know, to undo or edit undo in life. There are things that happen, and we have to live with the consequences. And you might argue, but don't you preach, Pastor, that Jesus forgives our sins? And the answer is yes, Jesus forgives our sins. But he doesn't erase the consequences of them all the time. And the other people that we have offended or hurt when we've been angry, they don't forget. Those things stay there, and they're lifelong consequences. And so I found this thing called the 10-10-10 rule, or the 10-10-10 strategy or checklist. And it's just something that maybe you can do if you're somebody that tends to blow up when you're angry. And let me give you the 10-10-10 rule. It's kind of like this. You think about your response in three different time frames. The first one is, before you respond, before you say something or do something when you're angry, ask yourself, how am I going to feel about it in 10 minutes? Have you ever responded emotionally and in the moment you felt good because you vented whatever was going on? Well, the problem is that a few minutes later, don't we almost always feel that twinge of regret? Like, gee, I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I hadn't done that. And so if you're going to control, if you're going to resolve, maybe you tell yourself, the next time I get pushed, I'm going to wait 10 seconds. I'm going to have the 10-second rule, and it has nothing to do with picking food up off the floor and eating it. It has, you guys don't have that 10-second rule, do you? Okay, I'm I saw 3-second rule. Okay, 5-second rule. Okay, but the 10-second rule is, what's going to happen in 10 seconds? And if the answer to that question is, I'm going to regret what I say, well, then just decide I'm not going to do that. Then there's the 10-month rule. Here's the 10-month rule. The 10-month rule goes like this. How am I going to feel in 10 months from now? Am I going to spend the next 10 months restoring the relationship that I just destroyed right now? And let me tell you, it could take 10 months. It could take more if your spouse has a wonderful memory, all right? But it's the 10-month rule. Am I going to regret this 10 months from now, or am I going to have to work like all get out for 10 months just to get back to where things are right now? And truth is, you really can't get back to where they are before you said something. And then there's the 10-year rule. Here's the 10-year rule, all right? In 10 years, am I going to regret this? Is there going to be 5 years left on my sentence in 10 years from now? And so you weigh what you're going to do in terms of these three different time frames, 10 months, 10 minutes, 10 years down the line. And see, the skunk has to slow down and think before anger results in sinful actions or outbursts. Now, let me give you the other one here. Then you have to... the other thing I want you to think about, because we're going to think about things, we're going to think about what we do in 10 months, 10 years, or 10 minutes. But the second thing I want to think about is I want you to think about why you feel angry. And this was kind of a revelation for me, so I was learning a little bit while I put this together. But think about why you're angry, and this applies to both skunks and turtles. Because anger is a symptom of a deeper problem. Anger is like the flashing check engine light on your dashboard. You know, the flashing check engine light's worse than the solid one. The solid one means you can take it to the gas station to find out what's going on. When it's flashing, you probably should pull over and not drive the car anymore. The flashing one is the really bad one. We one time had our entire dashboard flashing, all of the displays, and we just turned around and parked the car and took another car on our trip. But you see, anger is kind of like that flashing light on the dashboard that says something's wrong here. And from what I've learned here, there are three reasons that underline anger that could be really what's going on in your life. Have you ever been angry and you can't? You're just angry, all right? You don't know what it's all about, or maybe you do, but you can't put it in words. And so the what I read about says there's three things that cause you to feel angry. See, because anger is something you feel. The first is when you've been hurt. You've been hurt. You've been hurt and you feel angry. And I want you to think about this. When you're hurt and you feel angry and you blow up, what happens to the other person who maybe hurt you? Huh? Well, they get hurt. But you know what happens is they see that you're angry. And when you try to have a dialogue with somebody who's angry, there's no dialogue. There's just a bunch of shouting and everything else. But if you took a minute to think, why am I so angry? I'm angry because I'm hurt. Well, if I say, I'm angry, or I say, you know what? That really hurt, whatever it was, whether it was something that was done or said. Do you know what the reaction of the other person is? It's a little bit more sympathetic, isn't it? If I say I'm really angry, you clam up and, well, I just did it. I didn't even think about it, but the fists come up. You want to fight back. When you say, what you did or said hurt me, the other person is more likely to be sympathetic and listen, because we feel compassion for people that are hurt, don't we? And so think about what's going on. Why am I so angry right now? Frustration causes angry. Anybody get angry when they're frustrated? I would say this is one of the times I'm probably more like a skunk than a turtle, because when I'm frustrated, I'm just going to push through and get this thing done. In fact, I really do think that that is one of the ways creative or positive reactions to frustration is I'm going to get this done. I'm going to overcome. I'm going to finish this project, whatever it is. But you see, if I'm frustrated with a person and they see I'm angry, they're gonna react this way. Whereas if I say, you know, I'm really frustrated right now. I'm trying to get something done, and it just seems like you're trying to be an obstacle here. I'm just frustrated. You're more likely to get a little sympathy, aren't you? And there might be a dialogue. Well, I think you're pushing too hard. I don't think you're thinking. I think you need to back off and take a look at the big picture. Isn't that dialogue? That's not an argument anymore. That's a dialogue. You're dealing with the wrong problem. Instead of dealing with the anger you feel, you're dealing with the frustration that you're experiencing. Let me give you one more this morning. When we're afraid, that's the third way, reason we tend to get angry. I learned this a long time ago. There's something called a fight or flight syndrome when you feel threatened. When you feel threatened, there's fight or flight. Your body just starts producing adrenaline. You were designed that way by God as a safety valve, so that when you're in trouble, you know you're in trouble and you need to take some action. Your body produces adrenaline so that you can respond. And so if it's fight, you've got more strength. And if it's run away, you've got more speed. I'm an old man, but if I'm scared, I can still run. All right? Maybe not pretty, but I can still get out of the way. But you see, this fight or flight syndrome, when it comes to another person and we feel afraid, If they see the fight, and what you really need is a dialogue when you're dealing with another person, and that's what you really need. Can I say that a couple times? When it's another person, you need a dialogue. You don't need an explosion. And you say things like, I'm afraid that you don't care about me. I'm afraid that I don't matter. Do you understand that the fight, you don't care about me, doesn't get the same reaction as, I'm afraid that you don't care about me, because then the other person, if they're sympathetic, can put themselves in your shoes and say, oh, I'm sorry. I know I haven't been as communicative as I should be, or I've ignored you or whatever. You know what I mean? So it's the difference. See, because when we're angry, we tend to say things and do things impulsively. We need to think a little bit. We need to think a little bit. And you're more likely to get a sympathetic response if you understand what you're really experiencing when you feel angry. Now, let me talk about turtles, too, because turtles can react inappropriately. It says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Who does that sound like it's directed at? It sounds like it's directed at turtles, doesn't it? Because turtles tend to push things down, and instead of boiling over, they just simmer. They just simmer. All right, and if the pot's simmering for a long time, what happens? All the water runs out. It's not good, okay? So they tend to simmer. And so let me give you three things to think about if you're this turtle person here. Some people suppress their anger. They just swallow it. You know, they swallow it. Do you know that stomach problems happen when you keep swallowing your anger all the time? Or you push it down deep inside. You know where it comes out? In your neck, in your back, in your shoulders. All right? So these are the people that suppress their anger. They push it down. And I already mentioned it's this experience of your blood flow and your heart is reduced. And so you feel it there. Another way to deal it is to deny your anger. Ever run into deniers? Everything's fine. Nothing to see here. Move along. All right? And all the while, the truth is you're dealing with an alcoholic or somebody who's a spendthrift or whatever, and you say, but everything's fine. Everything's okay. And this is repressing anger rather than dealing with it. You know what happens when you push it down too long? Depression. If you push it down for a really long time, it's going to feel like depression. And it's not depression, it's denial. It's just you've been there so long, you can't deal with it anymore. And then I'll give you one more here. There's what are called inappropriate displays. You know any pouters? Stick that lip out, you know? And they're like that for a really long time. And they're not saying anything, but you know there's a problem. You got the look. You know, you get the look. You experience the look, right? And you got to walk around exiles because you're lively to stir something else up. And so everybody has to baby you because you're upset. And then there's the sarcastic people. You know about sarcastic people? They won't tell you what's on their mind, but they'll tell you things, right? You just have to listen a little bit closely. And so they say things in kind of a guarded way, and they seem like they're witty and everything. But instead of just telling you how they feel, they just say things that stick a little bit. So there's the sarcastic. And then there's the people, the manipulators. They don't get mad. They just get even, exactly. And so these are the people that they're doing stuff under the scenes. You know, there's like this passive resistance. You know, these are the people that they're not going to confront you directly, but man, are they going to make your life miserable for a really long time. They don't get mad. They get even. What it says, in your anger, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down while you're angry. Can I just, couple things that I've kind of been learning in life. This idea of not letting the sun go down while you're angry. I told you before, I tend to be the turtle. All right? So you push things down and you don't deal with them. And this idea of not letting the sun go down while you're still angry. You ever try to go to sleep when you're angry? It doesn't work. It doesn't work. You need to deal with these things before the sun goes down. He's saying, like, deal with this all the same day. Let me go on to this next one here. And while we were talking about this idea of in your anger, don't sin, never pay back evil for evil. I highlighted never. You can circle that way. Never, never. Even if you're angry, even if the situation is really bad, the Bible says never. Never avenge yourselves. All right? Are you listening to me this morning? These nevers apply to always, okay? There is never a time when that's justifiable. And then, well, this is just a nice one. Leave that to God. Leave that to God. He'll straighten things out for you, and he's real good at stuff like that. So release your anger in appropriate ways. And the appropriate way is talk about it, diffuse it, express yourself, talk about it. And let me give you one more this morning, because I realize from looking around the room at the body language and some of the tightness that I've seen that I might have stepped on some toes this morning. All right? Is that okay for the pastor to step on some toes in church? I mean, isn't that why we came here? Because there's something God wants to do in our lives, and he wants to help us. All right, so let me just finish this up this morning with a thought. Someone might be saying here this morning, "Nice sermon, Pastor," or "I hate you right now, Pastor." All right, and somebody else might be saying something along like, "I know that when I get angry, I have the problems that you're talking about, but I can't help myself." And please don't raise your hand right now or acknowledge that. But I can imagine that's going on in people's heads this morning. I can't help myself. I can't help myself. I've been a skunk my whole life. I blow up when I'm angry. Somebody else says, "I've always been a turtle. I push it down." And you say, "I've always been like that. I can't change. I can't help myself." Well, I want to point out to you that you've just stumbled into the most important truth in your life. There are certain things you can't do by yourself. There are certain things that you must rely upon God to do. And this is one of them. This is one of them. Look at what the text says. I have these two beautiful pieces of scripture. It says, "God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble." If you've got your paper in front of you, circle that always. Circle that always. He's always ready to help. Can I tell you something that's really important in life? Especially when we're angry at somebody. We probably don't feel like God wants to talk to us right now. Am I right? When we're angry, we might not want to talk to him, but we fear that he might not want to deal with us. Because we said anger is not a sin, but we still have been raised that perhaps that being angry is sinful. And we said it's not a sin. But the truth is we need help to deal with our anger appropriately. And it says God is our refuge and strength. He's a hiding place. He's the source of strength. He's always ready to help in times of trouble. And that includes when you're angry. Let me give you the other passage here. "No test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. He will never let you be pushed beyond your limit. He will always be there to help you get through it." You know, this passage talks about a promise that we have. It's a promise that we have when we're dealing with things in life that tempt us. And I will tell you that if whether you're a turtle or you're a skunk, this feelings of anger do push us, don't they? They push us to do things that we wouldn't normally do. And then when I'm talking about controlling or dealing with it appropriately, and you're thinking, "I can't do that," you're right. But we have a God who can and who wants to help us. I said circle the nevers and circle the always. That means he's always available to you. He's always able, and he will be there for you. And perhaps this is a good place to just stop. I have more to talk about on this subject, but I thought I'd stop right now. And I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. Put your heads down. I don't want to see faces, and I don't want anybody to feel uncomfortable. Nobody's looking right now. But maybe you're here today, and God's speaking to you about the way you behave as a skunk or a turtle. Maybe you're a pouter. Maybe you're a manipulator. Maybe you've pushed it down for so long, it's turning into bitterness. You know what? God wants to help. God wants to help. Maybe you've never asked God for anything in your life. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, anyone who is a sin is a slave to sin. And he came to set people free. And he sets us free as we admit that we've sinned and we ask his forgiveness and invite him to come into our lives and help us. So I got one prayer for everybody here tonight, and then I've got this morning, but I have another prayer for those that maybe have never asked Jesus to do anything for them. And the first one is this. Lord, we know that we've all done things we regret because we're angry. And we know that we tend to live in a world with a lot of angry people around us. Lord, would you forgive us for those times when we've behaved badly when we're angry? Would you forgive us? We admit that we have a problem and that you are the solution. We admit that we can't help ourselves. We ask, Lord, help us to learn the lessons that we've read about in your word this morning. Help us to apply those things, that we become a different kind of people, people that aren't so apt to respond badly when we feel angry. Help us to understand it. Help us to communicate. And Lord, I ask for every husband and wife, every parent and child that's in this room this morning, that when we encounter someone that's angry and they're trying to express themselves, that you would give us a gift of patience and the power of your Holy Spirit to listen deeply, to acknowledge where we've made a mistake as well. Help us to live differently before your eyes and before others. And if there's someone here this morning and you've never asked Jesus into your life, and you recognize that maybe you have a problem, well, he wants to help. He wants to set you free. And I have a simple prayer for you this morning, and you can just pray it quietly as the praise team is coming up this morning to help us close the sermon. You could pray a simple prayer like this. Jesus, I know I've sinned. I've sinned the way the pastor talked about this morning by expressing my anger in inappropriate ways. I ask that you would forgive me for that. Jesus, you died on the cross for my sins. Would you forgive me? Would you come into my life and help me live right before you as I take this step forward in life? And I'll just tell you, if you prayed a simple prayer kind of like that one, the Bible says you're a new creation. That's what the Bible says. You've been born again. Something fundamentally is changing inside of your life. And in fact, it has changed. You've transitioned, the Bible says, from darkness into light, from death into life. That's what happened. And you can count on God working in your life and helping you to become everything that you need to be. Your sins have been forgiven, and he's granted you newness of life. Would you stand with me this morning as we close in a song?